Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri, and Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, December 28th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gandhi.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Unpaid civil servants in Zimbabwe say they are not sure if they will receive their delayed December salaries tomorrow.
The salary delays and the pronouncement that salaries have been delayed is a worrisome development. It is a cause for great concern to most of the workers.
Zimbabwean doctors threaten to stay home if they are not paid salaries by Friday.
Our members will not be able to go to work simply because they don't have taxes. The government has reneged on its promise to pay us our salaries if they expected that.
And the cash-strapped Zimbabwe Electricity Transmission and Distribution Company wants to increase electricity tariffs to repay a $2 billion Chinese loan.
So our proposal is that we increase the tariff from 9.86 cents to 12.27 cents. So the tariff is actually just getting an increase of 10 cents. It is our mandate to ensure that the nation has power, adequate power for that matter.
For these stories and much more, stay tuned. Civil servants say they are increasingly losing hope that they will get their salaries soon because of the postponement of the pay date that has been moved forward twice within 1 week. Teachers who were supposed to have been paid early last week will now receive their salaries tomorrow, that is, if the date is not changed again. The rest of the civil service, including nurses, doctors and government officials, will now be paid on January 5th. Richard Gundane, chairman of the Apex Council, a salary negotiating forum pitting together government and civil servants, tells Studio 7 that civil servants are getting restless.
The salary delays and the pronouncement that salaries have been delayed is a worrisome development. It is a cause for great concern to most of the workers. It's a very unwelcome development. A lot of the workers have been speaking out. A lot of the unions have been speaking out against this. At a time when all the workers were expecting this, that by this time they would have got and received their bonuses. This thing is not for any pay days to be delayed into 2016.
Given the current scenario, do you foresee the civil servants getting any bonuses at all?
We keep on anticipating that there should be a bonus. So we have been talking about this in the past 2 months. We have been talking to government that they come out clear and clean on the dates when these bonuses are going to be received. Up to now, they continue to promise. We are holding on to promises. We don't want to give up on this thing because bonus is a very important payment that is well deserved by the hardworking workers, government employees in this country.
That was Richard Gundane, chairman of the Apex Council, a salary negotiating forum pitting together government and civil servants. He spoke on the line with Studio 7 from Gweru.
We also reached independent economic commentator Joyce Ngwenya, who says government is failing to pay the workers, not because there is no money, but because it is failing to deliver.
If this was a public company, even if it was quoted on the stock exchange, if it had been removed from the stock exchange, this is a public entity, a government that is totally broke, which is why Chinamasa and his predecessor, Tendai Biti, were saying we should generate enough revenue for this government to sustain itself. A $4 billion budget that was done by Chinamasa a month ago with $3.8 billion going to civil servant salaries, but the money was not there. It was a theoretical budget. It shows how clueless this regime is, and it's incumbent upon those people that are employed by this government to start looking at alternative options.
Do you foresee the government failing throughout the year to pay on time?
Whenever a government, a sensible government in a civilized country needs money, it either borrows from the public market or it prints the money. Now we don't have a normal government. It's a government that will perennially and perpetually and consistently remain in the red. So this is not going to improve. This situation is the bad news in civil service.
that this situation will never improve until we solve the problem. The problem is not in our in the government's inability to attract money. The problem is in the inability of this government to create policies that are conducive to create a civilized monetary environment.
That was Rejoice Ngwenya, an independent economic commentator. He spoke to Studio 7 on the line from Harare.
But economic analyst Philip Chichoni says the government has no money due to lack of a strong tax base.
The money which is flowing in the informal market does not ever belong to the government. It's citizens' money from their own bills. The government can only get money from taxes. So if companies are not making profit, they don't pay much tax. So there's no way the government can raise money without, you know, getting tax money from companies. And then the problem is that the informal market do not pay taxes. So if they get honest that money, then they can't get it from there unless they find a lot of tax in the informal market.
Do you foresee the situation repeating itself in the future that civil servants are not going to get paid on time?
I think it's going to last for a while because there's no kind of improvement in our economy. The industry is actually in increasing capacity. I don't see anyone increasing their capacity. We are not seeing new investors. So it's going to last maybe for the next 3 or 4 years. As long as there's no solution to getting new investments, getting industry to reopen, I don't see any improvement.
That was Philip Chichoni, an independent economic analyst, speaking with Studio 7.
Meanwhile, Fortune Nyamande, president of the Zimbabwe Hospital Doctors Association, tells Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri the organization has informed the government that they won't report for duty on Friday if their salaries are not paid.
Our members will not be able to go to work simply because they don't have bachelors. The government has renewed the promise to pay us our salaries if they expected that. So this has made us to be in a very difficult situation, where we have to balance between feeding our families, spending battery and going to work, and this has become so much impossible. So we will not be able actually to go to work until we get our salaries and our bonuses.
Have you communicated this position to the government?
Yes, we have sent the formal letter today, but we are aware the Minister of Finance has been communicating to all civil servants through the press. We have actually bypassed all the formal negotiating channels where we receive information from government, and we also didn't send our communication. So we are going to send our information to the media. We're going to send informal letters, but definitely the formal negotiating channels will be bypassed in this scenario.
But the government notified you that you are going to get your salaries on the 5th of January. Is it too late for you to wait until the 5th?
We cannot afford just that way from the 5th to the 5th. That's the point that we don't have that way. It's not like we don't want to go to work. We don't have that way. If there is any way of them coming and, you know, providing us with a way of transporting us our work and also giving us something to feed our families at home, because I will not go to work and I leave my child dying of hunger.
That was Fortune Nyamande, president of the Zimbabwe Hospital Doctors Association, speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. Studio 7 failed to reach Labour Minister Priska Mufumira and Health Minister David Parirenyatwa for a comment on the doctor's notice. Nyamande tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri the actions should not be seen as a strike.
Zimbabwe's surprising recent announcement that it would shift to the Chinese yuan as its reserve currency is a sign of friendship with China, but probably not much more, say regional business people and economists. VOA's Anita Powell reports from Johannesburg.
The announcement last week raised eyebrows among economists outside the country. The nation's finance minister touted the move as a huge advance in relations between the two nations and noted that China would use the occasion to cancel a bundle of debts, estimated at $40 million, that are due this year. But in the cash-strapped Southern African nation, local economists say the streets are already awash with foreign currencies since the death of the grossly inflated Zimbabwean dollar in 2009. In 2014, the nation's central bank opened the gate for traders to use the U.S. dollar, South African rand, Botswana's pula, the British pound, the euro, the Australian dollar, the Indian rupee, the Japanese yen, and the Chinese yuan. Business consultant Philip Chichoni says this announcement is unlikely to change things for the businessmen he works with.
I don't think it will make much difference to anyone because we're already using foreign currency.
And he notes, despite the yuan being acceptable legal tender for nearly 2 years now, he has yet to see one. He says most traders prefer the stability of the U.S. dollar, which is the nation's de facto currency. The nation's economic collapse, a legacy of years of mismanagement and unpopular decisions by the government, meant the Zimbabwean dollar ascended to inflationary heights of more than 230 million% before the currency was pulled in 2009. Near the end, the Reserve Bank printed a $100 trillion bill, and that didn't go very far. At the time, a loaf of bread ran a cool $300 billion. The market has since stabilized with the widespread adoption of the U.S. dollar, though Zimbabwe's cost of living is still significantly higher, about 60% higher, than that of neighboring South Africa. Still, Bank ABC chief economist James Wadi says the move toward the yuan, however symbolic, is a good one for Zimbabwe, because it widens options.
Well, it's a good idea in the sense that it's not like you are forcing business to use the Chinese yuan. What you're saying is you are expanding the options that they can use. But there could be some businesses that are very much doing a lot of business with Chinese companies. So instead of them maybe switching from US to yuan, yuan, US, if you give them that option, it's up to them.
And he notes context matters. China's president made a state visit to Zimbabwe this month and signed a stack of economic agreements, including a billion-dollar loan for a thermal power plant. If this gesture brings in more Chinese investment, and therefore more development, Zimbabweans will profit no matter what currency they use. Anita Powell, VOA News, Johannesburg.
Pressure to repay a Chinese loan of about $2 billion has forced the cash-strapped Zimbabwe Electricity Transmission and Distribution Company, a subsidiary of the Zimbabwe Electricity Supply Authority, to hike electricity tariffs. But business and residents have slammed the company for proposing to increase the electricity charges, saying the move will only worsen the country's economic woes. Last year, Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa said China was exerting pressure on Harare to pay up its loans or risk being cut out. Chinamasa told business leaders in Harare that Zimbabwe had had to pay millions of dollars to keep the Chinese creditors at bay.
In a statement, ZETDC said proposed power charges are designed to produce additional power from local and regional electricity producers and reduce load shedding. ZESA spokesman Fulad Gwasira tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that ZESA has borrowed $2 billion from China to refurbish Wange Thermal Station and Kariba Hydro Station, and they have to raise money to pay for those developments.
The tariff that we are charging at the moment is 9.86 cents per kilowatt hour, and this tariff we've been charging for the past 3 to 4 years, and we've not had the tariff increase. So our proposal is that we increase the tariff from 9.86 cents to 12.27 cents. So the tariff is actually just getting an increase of 10 cents.
What is motivating this?
It is our mandate to ensure that the nation has power, adequate power for that matter. And the motivation for this is to construct a new power station. We are expanding Kariba by 2 units, Kariba 7 and 8, which will give us 300 megawatts by 2018. And we are also doing the same expansion for Hoange. By 2 units, we should give us 600. So by 2018, we should witness an additional 900, which is about 80% more than we are generating now. And our customers will actually feel the difference when these projects have reached fruition. It is not the end. We're also doing a lot more towards ensuring that the security of supply. We're looking at diesel, we're looking at solar, we're looking at Batoka. All these are plans that we intend to reach to fruition so that we move from a position of net deficit, but to be a net exporter of electricity. So it is these inflows that are designed then to pay for the loans that we are incurring. For instance, at Kariba, we are giving a loan in excess of $500 million, and at Wange, we are getting a loan in excess of $1.2 billion. So this increase is designed to create a legroom for the utility in terms of ability to repay the loan.
That was Fulad Gwasira, ZESA spokesman, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
Harare Residents Trust Director Precious Shumba says residents are already struggling to settle ZESA debts, and the proposed increase means they will have to cut back on other basic necessities to pay for electricity. Bulawayo Progressive Residents Association coordinator Roderick Fayayo says ever since ZESA introduced the prepaid meters, it has increased tariffs a record 4 times, but services have continued to decline.
I'm going to be talking to our line minister. We work through our line minister, which is the Minister of Industry, and also indirectly the Ministry of Finance. If companies are not doing well, the country cannot collect revenues, companies will struggle to pay, even government will be affected. So we want to have a conversation with Minister Mike Bima, our line minister, and Minister Chitamasa to say we need to have a round table about this issue of electricity and really get down to the nub of the issue and come up with a collective solution. ZESA has come up with, you know, what we are seeing is a lot of sporadic sort of activities. First of all, power cuts, then secondly, now with tariff increase, and you hear they're buying generators to try and generate electricity on our behalf. We think that there are other ways in which power can be generated. For example, businesses should be allowed to bring in their own generators, and the diesel cost of fuel can be, you know, given at a different price. As you know, the landed price of diesel in Zimbabwe is 45 cents. There's a 60 cent tax inside there. That can be removed, and businesses are allowed to bring their own generators, and we take care, because we think that ZESA bringing in generators on our behalf is going to be a big challenge.
But ZESA is saying that if it is awarded the increase, it will actually reduce load shedding.
Yeah, but the cost of reducing load shedding is now quite prohibitive.
That was the president of the Confederation of Zimbabwe Industry, Busasi Moyo, who told Blessing Zulu that the tariff hike will increase the cost of doing business in Zimbabwe and will make the country less attractive for foreign investors.
Hello, I'm Demiake Mwakalyelye with Studio 7. Tell us how you are. Are you hopeful about 2016? Send us your audio and video messages on WhatsApp. You may receive a radio and calendar just for doing so. Remember to include your address when you send us the messages. Our number is 1-202-465-318. Again, 1-202-465-0318. We're also on Facebook.
Coming up,
Harare City Council urges people to watch out for effluent likely to cause the diseases.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
Military officials in Iraq say they have raised the national flag over the main government compound in Ramadi 7 months after Islamic State militant captured the capital of Anbar province.
And Iranian President Hassan Rouhani said Sunday that it's up to Muslims to improve the world's opinion of Islam. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We're broadcasting on the 909 medium wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies. The Harare City Council says illegal settlers on the Ingwe and Korobra farms should vacate the wastewater treatment farms immediately to avoid contracting waterborne diseases, as they have started pumping water waste into this area. Harare City Council says the pumping of the water waste onto the farms follows the successful upgrading of the Ferrell and Korobora wasteland plants. Acting Communications Manager Michael Chideme says council is being assisted by the Zimbabwe Republic Police in evicting the illegal settlers. Chideme tells us an imminent health hazard is looming there, as chances of an outbreak of diseases like typhoid, cholera and diarrhea are imminent in the area.
We have some farms which are there for cattle ranching,
but specifically for our wastewater treatment. So over the years, our sewer plants have not been functioning at optimal. Now we have revised our sewer plants. Here are the fail and proper sewer plants. The revival means that now we are no longer discharging raw sewage into the river system, but we are partially treating it and irrigating the grazing pastures for our cattle. Unfortunately, when our sewer plants were not working, some people settled on these farms and started building makeshift homes. So now that our sewer plants are back to their working order, we are saying to these settlers, move out, because we are now pumping wastewater onto these farms. So it's the advantage that we are giving this notice. We are making them aware of what is happening in Harare, in the farm and Cobra farm.
So what is the timeline for these illegal settlers to actually move?
We have given them enough notice. The whole of this year, the greater part of this year, we have been giving them notice to move. And some were voluntarily moving on their own, but some were staying put. And we also issued a statement sometime mid-year to say, by the end of this year, we will start pumping wastewater to irrigate the grazing pastures, which we have now started doing.
You were saying that you are trying to avoid the public from contracting diseases like typhoid, cholera, diarrhea. Tell us a little bit about that.
Our message is saying move out of those farms because they are for wastewater treatment. Continue to stay on those farms. We mean that because we are pumping now, right? So continue to stay on those farms. Put the people at risk of these diseases. Typhoid, cholera, diarrhea. So they should actually move out now before it's too late. And our message to them is they should move out of those farms and do the proper thing in terms of looking for housing land. They should approach council, and council will attend to their issues rather than them allocating themselves land without council approval. All our land in Harare is in specific uses. So that land, that the particular land we're talking about, is for wastewater treatment. It's never for housing. It's not for industry. It's not for recreation. It's not for recreation now. It's specifically for wastewater treatment.
How many families would you say are affected by this?
The specific number of families I wouldn't have, but it's quite a number of families. They range in the thousands. There was people were illegally going there to settle, and they were buying that land from third parties. People we have no connection with council at all. So they were being cheated of their money by these unscrupulous land dealers.
And your statement also says that you've actually elicited the help of the Zimbabwe Republic Police. Why?
Whenever a crime is committed, we don't take the law into our own hands. We conduct the responsible authority, which are the police, to say people have vandalized our property. If somebody vandalizes your property at your house, you don't go about beating them, but you summon the police to come and assist you, because they are trained to assist in that manner. We have given them enough time to move out. We have given them all the notices, all the procedures were followed, right? But now, because we have invested a lot of money on fail and corporate sewer plants to resuscitate the plants, now the plants are functioning. We need to do what we are supposed to do as a local authority, as a responsible local authority, that treats its wastewater to acceptable levels and discharge it appropriately, which is what we are doing right now. It's appropriate discharge of wastewater.
That was Michael Chideme, Harare City Council Acting Communications Manager, speaking with us from Harare.
Meanwhile, some Kadoma residents in Mashonaland West Province are trying to come to terms with the disappearance of 8 mentally ill local men who are said to have been taken away by members of the Apostolic Faith sect for healing sessions in October this year. Reporter Michael Kariati has more details.
The men were allegedly taken away by people claiming to be members of the Apostolic Faith Church to Norton after promising to cure them. But 3 months later, nothing has been heard from the Apostolic Faith members about the healing sessions. Kadoma resident Philip Gavaza says he witnessed the incident in which one of the most popular mentally ill people in the town, only identified as Zuze, was put into a truck.
I saw them bundle Zuze into a truck and they speed away.
Gavaza says he later heard that Zuze was being taken to Norton near the capital city Harare for a healing session.
I didn't know who they were, but I was later told that they were Mapotsoro who were taking him to Norton to cure his mental illness.
Another resident, Isaac Tope, says he's surprised that Zuze and his friends have not yet returned back home.
It does not take 3 months to help somebody. By now, those people should have been brought back, or they should have been cured if they went in the first place to be cured.
Even Malvia Songo, the father of one of the missing mentally ill people, Stephanie, knows exactly when his son was taken away. Chiponyangoro grew up in Kadoma and currently stays in Harare, says she's disturbed that no one is bothered to take action on this issue.
Very worried because nobody is taking any action. This is a desperate situation.
According to Songo, he has not taken the matter to the police, as even 3 months down the line, he still has faith in the man who took the initiative to offer assistance to his son and several other people. One of the Apostolic Faith members, Majibaba Willard Mandu, left his mobile number soon after they took Zuze. Studio 7 spoke to Majibaba Mandu, said he's just a member of the church and is not involved in the healing process. When asked how far they've gone with the healing of the men taken from Kadoma, he said he has not been to the Masoe gathering for some time now and is not aware of the progress made so far. Majibaba Mandu confirmed they are based in Norton, but refused to say where exactly they are conducting healing sessions, noting that reporters are not allowed at the place of prayer. Mental illness is traditionally associated with witchcraft in Zimbabwe. According to the World Health Organization, mental disorders comprise a broad range of problems with different symptoms. The World Health Organization says the symptoms are generally characterized by some combination of abnormal thoughts, emotions, behavior, and relationships with others. Some examples are schizophrenia, depression, intellectual disabilities, and disorders due to drug abuse. Most of these disorders can be successfully treated. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Cariati.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 live talk at 8:30 p.m. when our host will be talking with listeners and experts about Zimbabwe's delay in paying salaries of civil servants.
To join the discussion, text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you right back from our studios.
The music of Sandra Ndebele, Nomalanga. Now to recap today's top stories.
Unpaid civil servants in Zimbabwe say they are not sure if they'll receive their delayed December salaries tomorrow.
Zimbabwean doctors threaten to stay home if they are not paid salaries by Friday.
And the cash-strapped Zimbabwe Electricity's Transmission and Distribution Company wants to increase electricity tariffs to repay a $2 billion Chinese loan.
That's our broadcast for this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with PJ Praxedis Jeremiah. My name is Chris Gande. Good night, Zimbabwe.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanganya Huye, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.